the book to a grade as the book. Now, it may seem very much like putting the cart before the horse to talk about saying goodbye when the carnivore that said hello. But back in 1931, orchestra leader Andre Kajigera tune that makes goodbye a very pleasant experience, whether it appears at the end of a program, in the middle, or at the beginning. Here's what we think.
Thank you.
Nobody's sweetheart, no. That was Donald Brooks, who sang it for us on the night of the day this morning. Do you remember the song in a little Spanish town that came out in 1926? Then the success? Of course you remember it. And the following year, in 1927, there was a song called Ramona, which sold thousands of copies. Maybe millions, for all we know. Well, both those tunes were written by a very talented lady by the name of Mabel Wayne, who made it three in a row on the 1928 this song.
Yesterday, oh, May, oh,
Web Network of the National Broadcasting Company. From the NBC newsroom in New York, America is closing ranks today, marshaling its might, resources, and manpower to meet the challenge of Japan. The challenge flung unexpectedly at dawn yesterday when Japanese bombers roared over Hawaii. In just a few more hours, the Congress of the United States is expected to place this nation formally at war with Japan. Just what form this will take depends on what President Roosevelt asks when he addresses a joint session of the House at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. Some reports from Berlin hint that Hitler will join Japan in the war against the United States. The Tokyo Radio is claiming that Japan's chief Axis partner will do this within 24 hours. Events happening in the next 3 hours may cause the president to ask for an all-out declaration against the Axis, Germany, Japan, and Italy. Britain's parliament meets in about 2 hours. Prime Minister Churchill will make a statement that may be a declaration of war against Japan. Four nations have already entered the conflict by the side of the United States. They are Canada, the Netherlands, Nicaragua, and Costa Rica. Australia is expected to follow momentarily. Here's a summary of the spreading Battle of the Pacific. The American Navy and Air Force are seeking the Japanese units that yesterday bombed the Philippines, Honolulu, Pearl Harbor, Oahu, Guam, and probably Wake and Midway Island. The Japanese naval units that supported the attacking planes may already have been brought into action. There's an unconfirmed report that a Jap aircraft carrier has been sunk. England's great naval base at Singapore has had 2 aerial attacks. These Japanese attacks left an estimated 60 persons killed and 133 wounded. But Malaya dispatches say the naval base itself was not damaged. Japanese troops are storming into Thailand, British Malaya, and completing their conquest of the international settlement of Shanghai. Bitter fighting is raging on the Malaya beaches north of Singapore. Tokyo reports landing operations proceeding satisfactorily, but an unconfirmed report says that the Japanese had been repulsed. The attempt to land in British Borneo was beaten off. The Japanese made a second attack on Hong Kong today, and more Japanese planes were over the Philippines, below Manila, and the great naval base at Cavite have not been attacked. 5 other points, ranging from the northern tip to the southern islands, largely populated by Japanese, dealt the death-dealing bombs of the Nippon bombers. No reports of casualties and damage have been received. Washington has admitted that American troops and naval units suffered heavily under the first lashing blows of the unheralded Japanese attack. But the extent of the damage is a military secret. Naval authorities at Manila have announced that the small United States Marine garrisons at Beijing, Tianjin have been captured by the Japanese. And the partly decommissioned American gunboat, the Wake, was boarded by an overwhelming force in Shanghai and captured. The flag of the rising sun replaced the American emblem aboard the little ship. The Navy specifically denies reports that an American aircraft carrier had been damaged. Little Thailand reports that troops have halted the Japanese advance. The Bangkok radio says the several divisions of Jap troops struck in North Thailand and between Bangkok and Singapore. Planes supported the attack, Bangkok says. A late dispatch says that Japanese troops are advancing in Hong Kong from China. Tokyo forces are expected to lay siege to this strongly fortified British crown colony, but military experts believe Hong Kong can hold out for some time. In Shanghai, the United Press radio station has gone off the air. It is assumed that the Japanese have taken over the radio station along with other foreign communications. Now back to the Philippines. The 5 attacks today were as follows. 1 is Baguio, the winter capital of the island, 125 miles north of Manila. Another at Davao, chief Japanese colonized center on Mindanao in the south. Others at Talak at Clark Field, a big army air base. And the 5th at Apare, chief port of northern Luzon. President Roosevelt can have anything he asks of Congress. That's the sentiment reported from Washington this morning. All traces of isolationist sentiment in Congress disappeared overnight. Men who have fought the president's foreign policy joined with his supporters in calling for war against Japan. Public statements from Senator Wheeler of Montana, Senator Walsh of Massachusetts, Representative Fish of New York, Senator Taft of Ohio, and others all agree that this country must accept the challenge of Japan.
party lines dissolve, too. House Republican leader Joseph Martin has this to say. The minority members naturally resent the cowardly attack by Japan and will support the president in his effort to maintain the integrity of the United States. Martin's views were echoed by the Senate minority leader, Senator McNary of Oregon. Those who have heaped abuse on the sincere isolationists are showing no recrimination. Among these is Florida Senator Pepper. Pepper said today that the nation will not now think about who has been right and who has been wrong. We must stand shoulder to shoulder until victory can come to us. The America First Committee headquarters has issued a statement pledging its support to President Roosevelt. One of its prominent members, Charles A. Lindbergh, declines to comment on the situation. Here's a bulletin that's just been handed to me. Australia has joined other members of the British Empire today in a declaration of war on Japan. For the first time in the history of the Pacific, armed conflict starts abroad, Premier Defense Minister John Curtin said in a statement broadcast by the Australian radio. No other country but Japan desires war in the Pacific. The guilt for plunging this hemisphere into actual warfare is therefore upon men 28 to 35, free only for times when the United States was not at war. About 1 hour is needed for Congress to repeal a section of the Selective Service Act that forbids the use of draftees outside of the Western Hemisphere. That's the estimate of House Military Committee Chairman May. The Navy has imposed censorship on all outgoing messages from the United States and its possessions. The FBI is rounding up Japanese considered dangerous to this country. About 1,000 out of the 131,000 registered as agents on the mainland and in Hawaii. Other suspicious agents are being picked up along the West Coast and in Alaska and Hawaii. The district around Long Beach, California has had the nation's first blackout. Norfolk, Virginia has arrested all Japanese there on its own authority. Washington and many other cities are mobilizing air raid protection wardens. The National Director and Assistant Director of Civilian Defense, Mayor LaGuardia of New York, and Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt are flying to the West Coast. All but a few radio amateurs have been ordered off the air. Civilian pilot licenses have been withdrawn from all but regular airline and commercial flyers. And finally, on the economic front, Secretary Morgenthau has suspended all trade and transportation between this country and Japan. The Securities and Exchange Commission is considering a plan to close all major markets in the United States. Residents in the national capital have been instructed to report immediately any unusual incidents of any nature. They have been told that all unnecessary use of roads and streets should be avoided and all driving lights should be dim. America's greatest population and industrial center in New York is girding swiftly for any eventuality in the hostilities with Japan. Officials do not expect an attack, but they do feel that the New York City area must be regarded as a danger zone. Guards are being strengthened at many vital industrial and transportation points. Japanese agents considered dangerous are being rounded up, with 85 in custody so far. Civilian defense volunteer services are being made ready for instant call. On orders of Mayor LaGuardia, New York air wardens and auxiliary firemen are standing by for instruction today. Special guards have been posted at LaGuardia Field. And at San Francisco, military and civilian agencies are putting dozens of war orders into effect as the Western Seaboard becomes the first line of continental defense. Weekending soldiers, sailors, and Marines have been recalled to their posts, and the military posts have been barred to civilians. Blackouts have been ordered in the Los Angeles and Long Beach, California harbor areas, at Alaska, Panama, and the big airplane repair depot at Sacramento. An anti-submarine net has been spread across the entrance to the huge fleet base at San Diego. And the Puget Sound Navy Yard is warned that any airplane flying over it will be fired upon. All private aviation is grounded except for scheduled airline flights. Shipping has been bottled up by government order at San Francisco, Los Angeles, and other ports. There's cheering news from the older battlefronts this morning. In Russia, where Hitler has massed more than 1 million men in an effort to take Moscow by Christmas, a new victory for the Russian defenders is reported. At Mozhaisk, one of the points where the Nazis are closest to the Russian capital, the Russians claim that they have inflicted a major defeat on the invaders and smashed Hitler's bid for Moscow from this direction. Up in the Leningrad area, Moscow claims that the fighting rages on fixed in sector, east of the big Baltic city. The latter part of last week, the Russians reported that they were thrusting into the rear of the German forces captured Tikhvin in recently. Today, Moscow says this fighting still rages, with the advantage resting with the Red Army. There's not much specific news from the southern Russian front this morning. Moscow says that the Germans have been rolled back for an average of about 75 miles from Brostov, and that the retreat is continuing under constant blows from the victorious armies of Marshal Timoshenko. These reports would place the Germans close to Mariupol, where military observers expect the Nazis to try and stabilize their forces. To all the Russian claims, Berlin says vaguely that a series of new Russian attacks at several points along the eastern front have been repulsed. Berlin contradicts Moscow's reports from the south. Only in the Donetsk basin do the Germans claim any advances, and the Berlin reports continue to stress activity of the Nazi Air Force. Down in the desert sands of Libya, another great tank battle rages. Cairo claims the British have won initial success. Axis troops are believed to have withdrawn from the hotly disputed Tobruk sector. If true, this would again raise the siege of this North African port. British also report they have moved reinforcements into the new battle, raging north of Deir el Gobi. Rome's comment on the North African fighting is limited to claims of further damage inflicted on the British Navy by Il Duce's Air Force. Several hits on two British cruisers are claimed. But at the same time, Rome admits that the British Navy is taking an increasingly active part in the Battle of Libya. This is the third round in the North African campaign. The first went to the British. The Axis won the second. Both sides have taken advantage of unfavorable weather to regroup their forces and make repairs to their tanks and other mechanized equipment. Almost unnoticed in the stream of war bulletins is the important decision yesterday ending formally the dispute in the nation's captive coal mines. The Special Arbitration Board voted 2-1 to give the CIO the union shot. This is a sweeping victory for John L. Lewis's United Mine Workers Union. The steel companies which own the mines involved agreed in advance to abide by the arbitration decision. Lewis and Dr. John R. Steelman voted for the union shot. Benjamin Fairless, representing the steel firms, voted against it. There's evidence that labor, too, is closing ranks to form a united front against the common enemy. A scheduled nationwide strike of welders is off, and a mill strike in San Diego is called off by the union. In Washington, the White House has indicated that the work week of the hundreds of thousands of government workers will be increased to 44 hours a week. However, the work week for industry cannot be extended without congressional revision of the wage hour law. The Army's rule on taking new men remains unchanged by the outbreak of the war with Japan. Draft Director Hershey says the number of men required still depends and will continue to depend on the amount of equipment available. General Hershey says that this will determine the Army's manpower needs, thus the future policy of the Selective Service Administration. The director has canceled the rest of a tour of Weissman State Induction Centers and is leaving immediately for Washington. Here's the first official word from either side on that big naval battle at Pearl Harbor. The Japanese Navy has just issued a special communique over the Tokyo radio. The Japanese communique claims that two American battleships were sunk in the first attack on Pearl Harbor yesterday. Four other American battleships were damaged, and that four heavy United States cruisers were damaged. The Japanese Navy claims that it suffered no losses at Pearl Harbor. And the Japanese announced that Thailand has quit fighting and has agreed to let Japanese troops pass through the country. Now some late bulletins, if time allows us here. In New York, the German radio has announced that Manchukuo has declared war on the United States and Great Britain. NBC heard this broadcast. New York, the Tokyo radio, according to NBC's Miller correspondent, says Germany will soon follow Japan in a declaration of war on the United States. Bangkok, the Thailand government has announced that Thailand's resistance to the Japanese invasion has temporarily ceased. New York, the German radio has announced that